Now I'm keeping it.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode 992. I guess we have to keep it at this point. We're not the editing type. Good Lord. Well, my name is John Morgan. Cold coffee is with me. And if that open wasn't enough to explain to you how ridiculously sick I am right now, let me just say how ridiculously sick I am right now. Very, very frustrating. Funny cold coffee because, of course, we are in Las Vegas, our home for UFC 207, the big fight week to end the year. And it was funny because I had sent out a tweet earlier in the week saying, you know, we talked to the board of directors, we spoke with the shareholders, and we're going to do this thing a day early because, you know, we always do Thursday night coming out Friday morning, but this is a special week. The fights are on Friday. And I thought, man, to coincide, we should move it up a day. And I had every damn intention to do it and just got sick as hell yesterday.
Yeah, you looked rough. And it's funny, old Agent H was like, John seemed off tonight. She's like, until I heard that he was, like, sick, she's like, now I get it. Because when she came in, she's like, he just looked like he wasn't in good sorts or whatever. And I was like,
man. Well,
plus he was, you know, thick in an edit as well and trying to get all the stories. People don't realize that, you know, I probably have the worst, like, resting bitch face or whatever
it is.
Oh,
you do.
Like, if I'm thick in edits and I got, like, three or four more to go and somebody walks up and looks at me, I have to be the god-awfulest thing to look at. So I assumed when she saw that, she was like, oh, you're just catching, you know, like, she's getting used to it. You know, when she sees it happen more and more, especially when we work from the house, I think nothing really surprises her.
Man.
But
I was bummed. I wanted to knock it out last night, and so we'd have it up for this morning, you know, give everybody kind of a buffer day to go through it, because we're going to do and a half tomorrow night. You have to. It's a Ronda Rousey fight. It's the end of the year.
Do we?
You do. Yeah.
I mean, with all the stuff she's given us this week, so I mean, it makes sense. We have this whole episode dedicated to all the quotes that she gave to Ronda she gave to the media. In fact, let's play those quotes right now.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Yeah, no, it's
good
funny.
Stuff.
It's
good
funny
stuff.
Because I was going to say, you know, I guess it kind of worked out for the best, because I'll be honest with you, until the weigh-ins today, it didn't really feel like a Ronda Rousey fight. You know what I mean? It was she shut out the media. And, you know, we kind of talked about this a little bit last week, or I did at least, about, you know, her media ban. It didn't really necessarily upset me. I think it's well within her right to do it. And I think in some ways there's something pretty cool about the fact that she doesn't want to talk to anybody. She's saying, I'm focused on this fight and nothing else. And I think it's kind of cool. It's kind of become the story, right? I mean, that's part of the shtick of this fight week, right? But it didn't necessarily feel like a fight week, and especially not a Ronda Rousey fight week. Now, we'll talk about the morning weigh-ins in just a second. But honestly, I think the moment it set in for me that this is a Ronda Rousey fight was the evening weigh-ins that we just finished up with, the ceremonial weigh-ins.
Yeah.
Man, I kind of thought they weren't going to get that many people in. That place was pretty full. Now, it was not upper bowl, but
it wasn't even the back bowl, though, like behind us.
But you had to have a couple thousand.
Probably.
A couple thousand.
Yeah,
and we were sitting. I was sitting. Of course, you were back on the stage shooting from the riser that was shaking.
It was certainly no Connor.
It was definitely not Connor.
You know, so we could squash that at least for whatever. She didn't help fight that case right there. I mean, like a Connor one, the Irish one show up. I mean, I think the people showed up for Ronda, but it was a total different feel than the last time we've been in a big arena, you know, with Connor and those guys fighting. I mean, just madness. And I think part of that is the crowd, but also she didn't help herself, not really pushing it out. So, like, you're right. It did feel like a Ronda fight week finally, but I think we also missed out on the cool open workouts where she gets in there and just throws down and
right.
does her big workout, and everybody absolutely loves it. I don't know. I mean, she doesn't have to do it, and I totally get it. You know, it's not for us. I mean, her main thing is to fight, you know, and she's done promotion or whatever, but it just – I don't know. Just this whole – just vibe that she gave off all week, just like a spoiled brat.
All right, well, let's go through the week then. All right, let's start out with Ultimate Media Day. So Ultimate Media Day, we knew that Ronda wasn't going to be there. We got the media schedule last Friday. We knew she wasn't going to be there. But, man, I thought it was the weirdest media day ever. First of all, the UFC did something a little bit different. They brought out the prelim fighters first. We had scrums.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool. And then they did the face-offs. And then after the face-offs, they were going to have Dominick Cruz and Cody Garbrandt as individual sessions, which, to be honest, I'm kind of cool with that.
It wasn't bad.
I mean, cool.
It certainly could have helped, though. I mean, like, the fact that we didn't have the main
event.
But we
didn't get the face-off either. We didn't even get the Garbrandt-Cruz face-off.
I just throw it in with the rest of the stuff. I mean,
the whole I thought the media day was just a disaster.
It was weird. It was crazy. And then the fact that – I mean, I appreciate that the Dana thing. I mean, and he even admitted that the fact that since Ronda wasn't doing stuff, they had to throw out something. Lene pushed that. So good on her to kind of, you know, as one of her first act as the new VP of PR to kind of say that we need to do something. Like, we're missing, we're not hitting maybe numbers or whatever they're even trying to look at. Maybe it wasn't trending as much and hitting what they wanted to hit.
They're like, we heard Cole Coffey's in a bad mood. You know? So they're like, we better switch this up.
Well, I appreciate them for doing that. Even though I would have suggested better than saying, all right, hey, we're done with the face-offs. Every media person just run to the front and, you know, create that giant shit storm of a scrum, but whatever.
By the way, just 24 hours after, we should say, Dana White canceled on our interview again.
Yes, again.
Now, I think you and I
both. Now he's probably like, guys, you just had a chance to talk to me. I think what else is there to say?
I think you and I both expected this one to be rescheduled. We're like, dude, UFC 207 fight week. Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate they're still trying. And I have every hope in the world that it's actually going to happen, and I believe it's going to happen. And I think they were trying. They probably thought, hey, this would be a great, let's do it.
They did come up and apologize to me. They did come up and apologize.
It was to have it this week, because I'm sure they have their hands, and they're probably hearing things. Who knows? I mean, like, I don't know what the tickets are like. I haven't heard anything. But
almost sold out.
There's not as much buzz around this week as there should be.
My mom bought a ticket, and I honestly, for those that don't know, my mom flew into town to hang out in Las Vegas, for the holidays. In fact, we didn't even set the scene, by the way. I mean, we're here at Boomers.
Boomers.
So we brought my mom to Boomers. I mean, the dive bar, the hole in the wall place to be. We brought her to and she's fit in nicely, by the way. She's up there playing some poker, some blackjack, doing her thing over there, and like it. But I'll say this: so I brought her in, and I thought honestly, I was like, you know what, man? I bet it doesn't sell that well.
Yeah.
And I bet, you know, they'll hand out some tickets like they do. Not the case. It's almost sold out. So she
bought
a ticket.
That's good.
To get
that's
in.
Good to hear. And I know it's a big week. It's Ronda. Just I don't know. I miss the craziness of like the Conor fight weeks, the Ronda fight weeks, where it was just like the madness. They come out, everybody, all the fans love them. You know, they do the open workouts, they do all that stuff, and I feel we just didn't get it. And it's almost like she's trying to just such prove a point of, you can't talk to me, you can't touch me. She walked in the wrong door to come do the early weigh-ins morning.
We'll get to that in a second.
You know, I mean, just there's, I mean, I
love
Ronda.
Let's get to it now. Early weigh-ins. I mean, early weigh-ins. I'm sorry. Today was the first day that I was annoyed with her. I'm not going to lie. Today was the first day I was annoyed with her. Early weigh-ins, so it was 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific. Cole Coffey and I always get there at least an hour early because we know we know exactly where we want to be. It's a small room. There's not very many places to go, so we get there at least an hour early. Today we even did a little extra, you know, a little more than an hour early. We got set up, and Ronda comes in before the thing has even started, comes in the side door.
Yeah.
Okay, you're supposed to come in the back. You're supposed
check in,
go through your paperwork, go through your medicals, check in with USC staff, check in with the commission. She walks in the side door. I don't know this for a fact, but I can safely guarantee she was not the first fighter to show up. Like, there had to be people in the back
there
already.
There were people in the back.
And she just walked by them, comes in the side door, immediately starts to take her clothes off, gets on the scale, or starts walking towards the scale, and everybody had to say, hang on. There's no commission here. Like, you can't step on the scale, no commission, because we're not ready to start yet.
Yeah.
So they go back and get her, or get the commission, I should say. So we tell the commission, hey, we need you because Ronda's ready. Ronda gets on the scale. Bob Bennett is in front of the scale, 135. And before he can move out of the way so we can get our pictures, she's off the scale. Now, if you've ever watched these official weigh-in streams early in the morning, you know you'll hear the lovely voice of Heidi Dean saying, 5 seconds, stare at the camera, because the UFC records that. They want 5 seconds of flexing. Ronda was out, and you could see everybody dart back to go ask her, like, hey, we need you so we can get our tape. And she was
she said no.
Done. I'm out.
Yeah.
And I got to say, and I'm not – listen, I'm not one to criticize, man. The microscope that she's under, I cannot imagine the pressure. So I'm not trying to talk shit here, but today was the first day where I felt like it crossed the line a little bit, where it was just like, hey, listen, every person in this room right here, and it was the most cameras we've ever seen at an early weigh-in.
Yeah.
Every single person in there is here for one reason, to get that shot that you didn't allow happen.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's the UFC that's asking you to come back and step on the scale, not us. I get you don't want to talk to the media, but this is your employer. And so I will today for the first time where I was just like, how do you break every rule in the book and just not care. Yeah. And again, I've been a huge fan of Ronda Rousey. Got lucky enough to call a few of her fights when she was an amateur. Saw her come up. Have enjoyed the interviews. Have enjoyed watching her impact. You know, I talk about the open workouts we've gone to where you see moms, you know, soccer moms and their daughters show up. And it's so cool to see, you know, my own mom sat here on the MMA Roadshow one time and talked about how she saw Ronda as a little bit of a role model and influence. But that whole scenario, that whole situation this morning, I got to say, man, and maybe it's because I'm sick and I'm tired and I'm achy or whatever, but it hit me wrong.
No, I mean, I think you're completely right. It threw everybody off. I mean, everybody's – for her to not even – I don't know. I was a little put off as well. And like I said, when it kind of got this whole spoiled brat thing, just vibe going off or whatever, the fact that – granted, there was media in there calling her name as well. She probably didn't hear as much as some of the UFC staff. But for them to call her name, her not even to, like, hesitate and stop and even take a look back and say anything, she just kind of – walked out and pouted out, and then to go in the back and say whatever that she did. I don't know. It looked like it was a rough cut. She looked rough this morning. So maybe there was something in that too. Like, she wasn't feeling well. Last thing she wants to do is try to pose. I mean, but even you had like Lewis Holocaust Smoka go up there, and he looked
He looked
rough.
Bad today.
I almost
he literally looked like a zombie.
I did not want to put his picture out because I figured somebody's going to talk shit.
I felt
bad
too.
And I like Lewis. So when I say that, I say it with the best
intentions. Oh, because he's a great dude, but the picture's bad, dude. Like,
he's a great dude.
I feel
he
the same way.
He looked so really rough, bad. Like he was hurting so bad. He looked a lot better. I did, though, after the fact, after his opponent lost weight so bad, so bad.
30% of his purse.
So bad. As we were going downstairs when I was transferring over to go work before I went over to T-Mobile, Lewis is coming back up the stairs. So he had no real time to really hydrate.
Right.
He was smiling, and he looked a
already
lot better.
Already,
he looked already immensely better. So, you know, that fact knowing that you already got some easy money can apparently just,
makes the day better.
Just shakes off all that, you know, I haven't eaten and drank in days look. But as for Ronda, I mean, I want to keep pulling for her. You want to keep doing whatever. But, you know, when she's not helping, you want to like her. Like, and I mean, I like her. I'm just saying, like,
course,
I'm speaking,
yeah.
like, for fans.
The
somebody,
personal relation.
You know, when you want to see,
fans,
you want to do
exactly.
whatever. I mean, you know that we have to do what we have to do, and we're going to still shoot the other fighters. I mean, it's funny. When you look at half the media that came, that left after Ronda,
oh, yeah.
we're in it for the long haul. And it's not just Ronda. I'm not just there to watch Ronda. I'm there to watch everybody that, you know, from the Tim Means that starting the fight card at the end of the night or at the beginning of the night, who came there, whatever. I mean, we're there for everybody, so we'll stick all the way through it. So the fact that somebody wants to come at the very beginning and just kind of keep continuing this –
well, dude,
tantrum. It seems like a fucking tantrum. Like, she's pissed off at everybody. Like, I mean, she's doing meetings. She's doing everything. She's going out and doing stuff. She's going to all the places that they're just softballing it. She's going to Ellen. She's going to Conan. You think they're going to ever say anything? So, of course, she's going to do that. It's going to give her a wide breadth of, you know, of fans, and people are going to be able to reach, you know, huge reach. So, I get it. So, she, in her mind, she's like, I've done my media. I've done whatever. But now it seems in her head that she thinks that now she doesn't have to answer the tough questions.
Yeah.
And they're putting the kid gloves on her, and they're saying, okay, it's good. It's fine, Ronda. We'll let it go. We'll let it go. Even though Dana tried to say once. I'm going to give it once. Maybe because he knows there's not going to be a second time. You know, maybe he's got a little more keyed into whatever. But I like Ronda a lot, but she makes it tough to watch what she's doing this week, because I hate reading the fan reactions and people just saying, you know, this girl, blah, 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 dropping F-bombs or whatever. I think most of us, if we didn't have the respect for her, it would be easy to fall in that
sure.
category.
But all the things that Dana was saying were so true. She's done so much for the company. She's done so much media. She's been a pioneer. She's been an
yeah.
innovator. So she deserves that
but
respect.
Everybody's, I mean, yeah, true. Everybody's. But, I mean, she did pioneer. She did help break a lot of boundaries. But those same things that she did helped her get what she has now in Hollywood, all the other shit. It all paid off.
Right.
It's not like she just did it solely to promote her fights. It helped build her brand. So you can't take back the fact that what she did helped her become what she is now.
Right.
So the fact that we helped build you up, now you want to turn your back on everybody that yeah, might have tough questions for you. I mean, that's the name of the game. People love you when you're on top. Mm-hmm. People find some reason to hate you when you're down. And even when you're still on top, people want to find a reason to hate on you just for the fact because you're doing so well, you know. But it just – I feel like it is a fight week. It is what it is, but it just doesn't feel the same thing. And it's because they're doing so much stuff to accommodate Ronda that – we're not having – the fact that we didn't even have the main event at the media day, we didn't even have an open workout for this event. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, like, those are two – well,
nothing
we had
for
the media
fans
day.
To go, yeah, but the media day nothing wasn't even open to the fans.
Right. And then
I had somebody hit me up on Twitter who was like, hey, I'm flying in town.
Yeah.
What's on the schedule so I can go and enjoy myself? Right. I'm like,
how? And did you see this – it was like literally – 10 feet of space for fans today for the early weigh-ins.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, I think a lot of people really want to see. So it's like, all right, if you consider that is one fan event that they could go to, nobody really could go. There was no – after a certain point, they just shut the door. It was done, you know. And so then you have today, and then she doesn't even do her fucking interview after her thing
with
Joe.
You knew that was coming, though. You knew she wasn't.
But I mean, he's going to throw softball. He asked one question. It's not like he has – that's about as softball as it gets.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a UFC staffer asking, what do you think about your opponent? Are you excited for this fight? How do you feel?
Yeah.
It's not fucking softball.
It's not like Joe Rogan's going to be like, hey, the last time we saw you, you were face down on the canvas.
Yeah.
You know, your undefeated record. Yeah. What was it like when we heard you were in the fetal position in the back of the – you know what I mean?
Do
like,
you still smell Holly Holm's foot?
You're so wrong. Yeah, I don't know, man. Listen, man, if she goes in and wins, you know, at USC Tool Set, if she goes in and, you know, I'm sure all will be forgotten. But I'm telling you, I think if she loses fight, I think, well, maybe not all will be forgotten. But I'll say this. If she loses this fight, I think the fans that turned on her the first time, which it was the fans, not the media, damn it. I'm tired of that whole thing. I think it's going to be really bad.
Well, I mean, that's why it just makes me think that she's not in it for the long haul. She wanted to come back and take a stab at it. And I'd be really, really surprised. Or what is she going to do? I mean, if she thinks – I mean, she makes it seem like she wants to do it, but she doesn't want to deal with the media. She doesn't want to do anything. I'd be surprised if she did get it, if she fights more than once a year. It'd probably be once a year type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just – she just doesn't want to deal with this anymore. And if this is what it is, and Dana says, well, I agreed to it for this – but no more anymore, and she can't deal with it right now. I mean, I just don't see it.
Let's say she comes back. We're still going to have to ask her about Holly Holm next time, right, since we never got the answer the first time.
I just think it just seems to me it's more of a one and done, and this is just like she wants to get through it and be done with it, and, you know, she just doesn't
want to go out like she went out.
I think she has everything in it when it comes to training and disciplining herself and becoming the best that she can be.
Right.
All about it. But as for being able to be in the game to still have to do this other stuff, play the media, do the media, do the fan things, you know, help grow the sport, help do whatever, I just don't think she has her heart in it anymore.
Right.
It's about testing herself, which I appreciate, and I appreciate that, you know, she's pushing herself. There's still something about that whole martial arts mentality. She's going out there mano a mano, fighter against fighter, doing it. It's a wonderful thing. But as for
oh, you're getting sick now.
What the fuck, dude? It's like transferring through your headphone over here.
Welcome. I need a cough button. So
just
bad.
just doing the other stuff. It just, if she can't do it to this degree in this one, where you're the headliner and UFC's gonna, it just doesn't seem her heart's fully in it from what it needs to be.
I honestly feel like we have so many questions. I don't know if I can think of a main event that had more question marks around it. Where like literally. If you're breaking down this fight, like, I think you're just guessing. Because I don't think all those things that you just said, I think you're dead right. We don't know where her head's at. It looks right. It looks right. I think.
Well,
she looks in good shape.
Well, when we saw last time when the weigh-in, when it happened, she did the same sort of thing, got a little testy. Then they gave her a mic, and she stumbled all over. And as soon as I heard what she said, I was like, she's not fucking right.
It's true.
The best thing, I guess, in that sense right now is that don't put her on the fucking mic, and then we can't tell. It all still sounds fine. But I had a feeling just last time, I was like, there's something wrong. Something's not right, you know. And it could have been just me looking more into something that didn't really occur. But then when
– I think we had that feeling.
We had that feeling. I think a lot of people did.
I didn't change my pick. But I had that feeling because I know we all went back to the apartment after the weigh-ins and we're like, dude, like
something's
off.
Not right.
Like it started for me. It started when her mom didn't make the trip down to Australia, and I was like, that's weird.
But now it's like, how can we not say the same thing because she won't talk to anybody? It's like, how can you? I mean, even looking at her team, I was trying to look at fucking Dolce's face and trying to read him.
Right.
Everybody just seemed like not in the best of sorts. Just weird. Like, they're all walking on fucking eggshells. And then there it is in the morning. Everybody's constantly walking on eggshells because they don't know when some fucking mental moment's going to happen or something. And that's what happened on the last weigh-in. And so, I don't know. I hope the best for her. I wanted to go in there and have a fight. I mean, I just have to think her mind's not – I don't want to say fully there because I think in her mind she believes she is there 100%.
Yeah.
I think she's fully there trained and she's – believing it or whatever, but
that's the exciting part about this, man. About 24 hours from now, we're gonna know. All right, I want to talk about Amanda Nunes real quick.
Yeah, what about that fucking lion head?
All right, well, let's start with media day. We can talk about the lion head in a second. Well, okay, let's start with the face off. I feel like Amanda missed a couple of opportunities today because when she came out with the lion head, of course, her nickname is the Lioness.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, that's kind of weird, kind of cool, you know, but kind of weird, but all right. And then I guess it wouldn't make sense because you want to get your face seen a little bit.
Yeah,
but
they probably would have gotten maybe a little pissy if she tried to wear it because I kind of thought she
should go to the face-off like that. Like, I kind of thought it was one of the things like, you know what? Fuck you. You won't show your face anywhere. I'm not showing my face anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what I thought in my head. Like, she's going to go into the face-off with this damn lion head on and be like, you won't face me? I'm not facing you either. You can look at the lion head. You know what I mean? So like,
true, but what if she couldn't really see all that well of it?
And then something started popping off.
Something started going off, and then she's like, I ended up taking that one hit because I had that stupid fucking lion head on. But I thought that was interesting. But I was thinking, like, here, they probably fucking snuck that one up there, too, because I'm thinking, like, normally there was a point when – love Bird to death. That stuff wouldn't have flied.
Yeah.
He would have never seen it. So every time I see something come out like that, I'm like,
they wouldn't let Honey Jason wear his little hockey mask, dude. Yeah. It's a Jason mask. Like, dude, it's not even like a big prop. It's a little tiny prop.
And maybe with like Goyito wearing the
Lucha Libre mask.
The Lucha Libre, maybe that started help change some things where they finally just were like, do we really care? Maybe not as much. I mean, they don't want to have somebody come
in. Like, was that a Reebok lion head?
Yeah. I mean, so they don't want to come in and have like, oh, those Reebok sheets where the guy put the fucking Ku Klux Klan hat on? That was really awesome.
Oh,
thank goodness you wore Reebok. So, I mean, at some point, they know they're going to probably have to pull back. But right now, I think they're allowing it. So I thought it was cool. I didn't think it was the most intimidating-looking lion. It was kind of a weird-looking one.
A cowardly lion?
Yeah, kind of like thin and emaciated lion. But
all right, well, props to her for at least doing something.
No, I loved it. She's got character, man. She's got pizzazz. And, I mean, she's...
Dude,
and
she
she's
looks
been
in
happy
great shape, man.
All week. She's been smiling. She's looked good. And she looked big compared to Ronda. And maybe it's because of the fact that maybe she hydrated better. She had a better, just coming back process. But she didn't look bad at the weigh-in either. Like, she didn't look sunken in. Like, Ronda looked a lot more depleted than Amanda did. But I don't know. It could have been that she also looked like because she was pouting or whatever she was doing. Tell me she didn't look like she was pouting a little bit. Like, you made me go back in the back. I was ready to weigh in, and you made me go back in the back. Like, F you.
Yeah, she
you
did.
Know?
She did.
So.
All right, well, here's where I think Amanda really missed the ball. But here's why I know if you heard anything or not. Because Amanda did not come to the media day. Now, we knew Ronda wasn't going to come to the media day, right? Because she wasn't coming to the media day, obviously it would not be fair of the UFC to say, hey, Amanda, we need you to show up to the media day, even Ronda's not going to. So she was not told to go to the media day. But I honestly believe that she should have gone.
Yeah.
She should have just showed up. Dude, she would have been the star of the party. You know what I mean? Like, all the media would have been around her. She would have been able to throw out a couple questions. I did see a couple of interviews, I guess, where she said she was actually kind of relieved to not have to do it because she's still learning English as her second language.
Sure.
And so the scrum interviews are kind of hard for her, which I totally get. You know what I mean? I speak a little bit of Spanish, but not much. And I have to have a few frosty beverages before it starts flowing.
Yeah.
So I get it. But two things. I think if she would have showed up and just spoken for a few minutes, I think it would have been awesome.
Yep.
And I really think the money thing was, Ronda Rousey has been using the hashtag Fear the Return. I think if Amanda would have showed up and been like, fear the return, the only one that's apparently fearing the return is you because I don't see you anywhere.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, oh, but snap.
I thought it'd be better if she would have been like, you know, I'm here doing stuff. She's just a do-nothing bitch sitting back in her hotel room. That would have been awesome.
Dude, so if she would have dropped those two lines, money. And then the other thing is that had she – and again, the USC would have had to allow this, but you can't tell me the USC wouldn't allow this. I mean, well, maybe you can because – I mean, they do love Ronda, and they do try to protect her, I think, to some degree. But can you imagine if Amanda got up, you know, when they did the face-offs, if Amanda got up, threw a belt on her shoulder, walked up on the stage, and kind of gave a look like she's looking around, like where's her opponent, you know, palm in the air. You're telling me that video wouldn't be the viral video that's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, where everybody's like, oh, F Ronda Rousey, she wouldn't even show up. And, again, I know the USC doesn't want to make her look bad. They don't want to make Ronda look bad. So, you know, maybe they wouldn't have liked that. But it would have to mean more pay-per-view sales. It would have to mean more interest in the fight. But here's what I do wonder.
I do wonder if they told social media stuff.
Oh, yeah. I do wonder if they told Amanda she couldn't go. Because if you go back to that scrum, and you can see the entire 30-minute scrum on the MMA Junkie YouTube page, Dana has asked pretty directly about that. Like, did you – you know, why is she not here? What's she not? I think that it was even – dude, I was so far in the back because I couldn't even get up there. It was like, did you not allow her to go? I mean, I think it was directly asked like that, and he answered around it where it's like, well, this is something kind of special and unique. You know what I mean? And I think it's very possible that maybe she wanted to go and they told her no.
Yeah, makes sense. I could totally get that. I thought it was odd that they didn't even have the co-main event there. The fact you didn't have Dom and Cody, maybe the fact that they took them off made it easier for them to not have a main event person there. You know, because then, you know, then they're like, oh, well, no, we're not going to have the main or the co-main event. You guys aren't attending at all. So don't even try to come.
Right.
If you come, we're not going to let you in the building.
Right.
You know, I just, you know, but you're right. I mean.
What great video would that be? Amanda Nunes is like trying to check in at PR to get into the open workouts. They won't let her.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
That'd be a certainly a black eye on the organization.
Well, you know? I got to say, I am pumped up about this fight. I went with my staff pick. We got to get you on the staff picks next year. We're starting a new year.
Shit, man.
Let's get you on the staff
picks. You
know,
I won my fantasy football league this year.
What does that have to do with picking fights?
Because it means I'm good.
We got to get you on that. I picked Ronda Rousey, and it's – I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there right now.
Trying to get an interview with her. You're like Ronda.
Ronda, I had
I
you.
I picked you.
I had your
I
back.
I picked you because she's been like, John, I read your shit. You didn't pick me.
I can guarantee
F you.
She has never read anything I've written. Yeah, you know what? It's an emotional play, I think, more than anything. I think she is focused. I think she is dialed in. I think she does look good. I think this means everything in the world for her. I think she's going to shine in one night. And I think she had a really shitty night in November, man. I think she's still a really good athlete, man. It's not like she was going out there and edging out people, man. She was going out there and smoking people.
Yeah.
But I will say this too, man. Amanda Nunes can crack, dude. Like, when she was punching Miesha Tate at UFC 200, I was like, feeling bad for Miesha. You know what I mean? It was just like, oh, my God. Like, it was painful to see it. She can crack. And, you know, God bless Holly Holm, but Holly Holm's not a knockout artist. Amanda Nunes is a knockout artist. Holly Holm is a great striker.
Yeah.
Amanda Nunes is a knockout artist. And, man, it could go really bad, man. It's going to go one of two ways.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And if I had to go on a pick, I would go opposite
with
you.
I don't blame you.
You know, I think you're right. I think Ronda has every intention to win and is going to go out there trying to win and believe she is all there and has done the work. I wholeheartedly believe that she's done everything in her mind to get her to that point. I just feel still when we go back to the fact Amanda is fighting the best that she has fought in a long time. Ronda still, as well, I mean, she's been out of the game for a while. I think Amanda hits harder than Ronda. I think if Amanda knows how to do like what Holly did when Holly and them kind of opened up the game plan and how to stay away from those points where Ronda gets a hold and does the control and can somehow use her judo – if she can stay away from that point, Amanda, in my mind, has all the pluses to dominate this fight.
Mm-hmm.
Does it happen? Who knows? Because we've thought this before that, you know, she's went in there, she's going to go with strong strikers. Oh, Zingano's going to come in there and just punch her once and it's going to be done. Or she's going to charge in there and then Ronda gets a hold of her and it's done. I mean, you can't – when somebody reaches the level of what Ronda is, she's a freak of nature when it comes to that thing. If she gets a hold – it's game over. I still believe that. And I think anybody that thinks that she still doesn't have that crazy armbar power where somehow it doesn't matter what position she's in, somehow she works it into an armbar or some sort of move, you know. But I just think Holly and them opened up. They opened up the game plan. They showed – they got the cards. So Ronda's cards are laid out there.
I agree.
I don't think her striking has changed all that much in this time. I don't think she's gained power that she didn't have before. I think she has cardio for days, and that's never been an issue. But I think Amanda's just stronger, and I think if she can keep herself distance and work the distance and starts hammering a couple shots on Ronda, she's gonna batter her up a little bit, and Ronda's gonna slow down, and then we might see the same stuff where – we saw with Holly where she started making lunges to try to grab on things, and it got sloppy and just kind of at that point, you know, it just seemed done before it was done.
Oh yeah, that moment where she hit a knee and then ran into the fence. Everybody in the building knew this is over.
This is not good. But I don't want to just take it and just say that it's the fact that Ronda's been out of the game, that Amanda's just – she's dominating right now. She's fighting the best she's fought with her power and with the right team. And, I mean, she just looks so comfortable right now.
Oh, she does.
She looks so good right now. She's so at ease that there's – it doesn't – I don't sense one bit of nervousness in her.
No.
And that's
got to
be
real confidence.
That's got to be dangerous 100%. For anybody across the octagon.
It's real confidence. I always say you can tell when people are kind of trying to hype themselves up.
Yeah.
Or when they actually believe it, she actually believes it. One last thing on this fight. It really will have probably very little bearing whatsoever on the fight itself. But I always enjoy Anderson Silva was one that was big to me. And now Ronda Rousey. Seeing a champion who has dominated for so long have to walk in first.
Yeah.
And have to kill that time in the cage while the champion walk is, you know, a good 3.5-4 minute walk. And, you know, that champion, that former champion is used to coming into the cage – I'm in. Let's get this party started. Let's go. And now you've got that 3.5, 4, 4.5 minutes where you got to pace a little bit. You got to let the moment sink in. She'll be on the corner right in front of us on press row, probably scowling at us, flipping us off or whatever. So
they'll probably switch it this time around. They're like, we're going to do it differently, guys.
So I don't know. It's just a fun That's little true. Psychological thing that I always like to see is how does that person kill that time? You know
what
I mean?
And they
what
never
they
show
do?
That stuff. So, no. I mean – That's a reward for those of you that are actually getting the tickets, you know, in the building. Because, they never show that stuff, you know, very rarely.
All right, let's talk about the co-main event because at this point, until today, and even still today maybe a little bit, Dominic Cruz versus Cody Garbrandt was feeling like the main event.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, not in terms of status, in terms of casual fan and this sort of thing. But, man, the heat between these two has continued to build.
Yeah.
And it's real, which is great, because I know, like, when people have these made-up rivalries, it's just, like, it's so annoying. But these two dudes literally hate each other. I know you and I have both talked to both guys off the record where there's no camera around, there's no recorder on, and they say the same shit. They're still talking trash. They hate the guy. You know what I mean? So I think it's going to be great. But, you know, a good rivalry between two people who talk trash is kind of fun. But when it's between two great fighters like this, that's their styles. The way their styles match up is so fun. I mean, Dominic Cruz, this master of movement, this master of rhythm, in and out, you know, chasing you all over, making you miss, coming back and counterpunching, versus Cody Garbrandt, whose hand speed is just incredible. If you have not seen it firsthand, it's stellar, dude. It's the power of his shots, the accuracy of his shots, and the speed of his shots. Dude, it is something to behold. And, man, I'm pumped about this fight,
That's
man.
A great fight.
I love this fight. I guess I'll just throw it out on the table first so we can talk about it. I picked Dominic Cruz just because Dominic Cruz is Dominic Cruz, man.
I don't hate that.
Dude is one of the top pound-for-pound fighters on the planet. Many have entered, you know, not many have been able to figure him out. You know, he is something special. But I got to be honest with you, dude. I think Cody Garbrandt has as good a chance as anybody who's ever stepped in with Dominic Cruz. Because that dude lands flush, you're done.
Yeah. And you're right. It's tough. It's tough. You know me. When it comes to an Ohio guy.
Ohio.
You know, when it comes to me, like, it's tough for me to pick against guys. So I'll stick with that, and I won't pick against the guy. But also, you're right. Dom looked thick. Dom looked really big today, and he looked better, I think, than I think we've ever seen him. And
there was
a focus when he got on this. Even in the official weigh-ins, when you looked at his face, when you looked in his eyes, there was something there that is scary. Mm-hmm. And Dom, when he came back from such a huge long break and injury and just thoroughly just dominated dudes, like the Dominator.
Wow.
That should be like his nickname.
You should
or
go
something.
With that. I'll let you recommend that one to him, man. I'll, that's all you, man.
It doesn't bode well
but
for somebody
use
when
like
he goes
an eight
in
there, like dominate.
Dominate. Eight. Yeah. When he goes in there like that, I mean, I would typically think that he's going to take anybody. But you're right. Cody has such fast hands and he's strong. But what, you know, the thing that helps Dom is that Dom never stays stationary.
Right.
You got to be stationary for those hands to really
True.
Tee off like he needs to. So he'd almost need to stun Dom and then be able to work his speed. Because if he doesn't watch out, he's a strong guy, but he puts a lot in his punches. And if you're punching a lot and missing, he's going to wear his arms
out. Over 25
you know?
Minutes because Dominic Cruz is not going to slow
he
down for 25
never
minutes.
He stops.
Never.
You know, and my fear is that Cody's going to expel a lot of force and energy just chasing Dom.
Right.
Dom's not just going to come walk into the center of the octagon and try to do it. He's going to try to do that weird little side step to each direction and throw those weird angled punches.
By the way, I should make sure the listeners know both of us are actually doing Dominic Cruz movements
little
right now.
Thing here.
I mean, we both look pretty much just like him. So yeah. there's probably people in the bar right now.
I have a scraggly beard like he does. Mine's a little bit more scragglier than his. But I don't hate on picking Dom by any means because my head is telling me Dom – by looking as good as he did and having that rangy movement that a lot of guys have a problem doing, it gives him the edge. My heart is telling me I want Cody, one, because he's in Ohio.
Of course.
But two, he's a really, really nice dude. And it'd be nice to see Alpha Male get a win. They've had some I don't want to say rough times.
Some close calls. I mean, dude, they're elite level. They're elite level, and they just don't quite get to the top. I mean, Joseph Benavidez. Dude, if Demetrius Johnson chose to, I don't know, whatever he could possibly do for a living other than fight, you know what I mean? Joseph Benavidez would be considered the greatest flyweight of all time.
Yeah.
But, he can't get over that hump. Uriah Faber, look at all he did and just came up short. Yep. I mean, both great fighters, you know, and – you're right. This would be a big one for that team.
It would be huge for that team, especially the fact of what he's done to members of that team. You know, I think that would be a huge, huge boost for that team. But he has his hands full as much as Cody is strong. Dom can take a punch as well. So the thing is, I mean, I have no doubt that Cody's going to land one or two good shots on Dom, but you need to land 8 or 10 or more on Dom because – they never really get a full – most fighters aren't getting a full punch on Dom.
Well, yeah, because he's rolling with
blow.
It. He's pulling back.
So they're not doing as much damage, but they're still expending as much energy to throw the punch.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of them could probably keep themselves throwing that large punch if they're getting the benefits of a nice solid hit. You know, I think a guy, even if they're just completely spent, but they're getting that good solid hit on them and they're seeing they're doing damage – they're going to will themselves to keep doing it.
All right,
if you keep missing, that's got to be tough to keep throwing it.
I want to ask you about that. Okay, this morning, we should say the championship fighters both all weighed in very early. Of course, Ronda Rousey went first because she came there early and got there first in line. And
well, she wasn't going to be second. You're either first or you're last. You're either first or you're last, and Ronda's number one, damn it.
After that, the rest of the championship fighters came in very early, and Cody Garbrandt got done. As soon as Cody Garbrandt got done, Dominic Cruz was actually next. And as Dominic Cruz was coming in, we heard some people basically like, fall into the wall is what it sounded like. There was a scuffle outside. Should say, I guess, that the initial reports was that it was Cody Garbrandt and Dominic Cruz. It was not.
Yeah.
It was Cody Garbrandt and Jeremy Stevens. Ali Abdelaziz,
which is just weird.
Who is Cody Garbrandt's manager, actually came in, excuse me, later and explained kind of what happened. He said that you know, basically tensions, Jeremy Stephens, Dominic Cruz teammate, talking trash, you know, they're getting into it.
Was Jeremy Stephens? I haven't even seen him this week.
Yeah, no, he's hyping up his boy,
I suppose.
They kind of got into it.
And he's out there, where's Clay Guida? Where's
yeah,
Clay
right?
Guida? Damn it, I'm here in town. I was hoping Clay Guida.
Let's get that fight
I don't know
up.
Where that fucking accent
that
came
not,
from.
That was not
that
Jeremy
is not
Stephens.
Jeremy Stephens.
I don't even know who that was.
That's I'm channeling your mom over here. That was my Texas
a little bit
swing,
of that country
but yeah.
twang.
But
they got into
the
it.
Fuck, it's
blows
so
were
random.
Thrown. From what I understand is Ali grabbed, I think he said he grabbed Jeremy Stephens and actually walked him away, like just picked him up and carried him away. But Jeremy, Cody Garbrandt did get his neck scratched up a little bit by Jeremy Stephens. Like, I guess the nails kind of scratched him. I guess he grabbed it for his neck. So, tension. But I say all that to say, what do you think about Cody Garbrandt's head? Because I've seen this a lot where people are saying, listen, Dominic Cruz is a masterful trash talker, right? Like, he's the best in the game. Like, subtle but on point, you know what I mean? Like, not, you know, not crazy trash talk, but just kind of intelligent the way he handles it. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that, like, Dominic is in Cody's head, and how is Cody going to be able to keep his head straight? Because when you're fighting Dominic Cruz, you're trying to figure out a puzzle, right? You know what I mean? I don't think it can be just sheer aggression. I think it has to be timing. It has to be rhythm. It has to be all those things. You've got to figure out that puzzle. But I also see the flip side in talking as we were in Sacramento a couple weeks back. We got to talk to some of Garbrandt's coaches, and we got to see, you know, his final sparring session and all that. And a lot of them say that Cody actually responds better when he's pissed off, when he's, like, in a bad mood, because it, like, that sheer aggression kind of gets amped up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of on the fence right now, knowing that I already laid out picking Dominic Cruz, but now I'm kind of trying to see, how does this thing play out? Like, is he really in Cody's head, or is that just going to make Cody respond better?
See, I don't know. In talking with him, and as we've seen him, I believe that he's pissed. I believe that they have anger towards each other, or they just don't dislike it. But the thing is, I don't think he's emotional about it. And I think that's where fighters go overboard, and they get out of themselves, and they do something. They end up getting a mistake. I hope he's not – at least when I've seen – I don't think he's that emotional where he's going to just lose his training, lose his game plan, lose his thought, and just like, I have to knock this guy's head off. I don't think it's there. I think right now there's still a lot of gamesmanship happening, you know, trying to get in each other's head or whatever. But I think when we get in there, I know Dom, he doesn't get emotional about shit.
Right.
And that's when I think one of the best things about Dom is that he could talk one hell of a game. When he gets in there, it's just another
win. And then just laugh afterwards.
Just another win. It's just another person he has to go through. And I absolutely think that's amazing. And it shows why he's able to keep that even keel. And somehow he brings it out of his people. But I think Cody, hopefully has learned and seen other people sort of fall through it. So I'm hoping he's just sort of just playing it like he is and maybe giving that thought to hopefully maybe Dom maybe thinks that he's emotional and he thinks he's going to overstep something. But I just don't feel it. I don't read it yet. When we read it, when we interviewed him and we talked with him, yeah, he's quick to say, you know, Dom, this. But he also was respectful to a degree as well.
He did.
And I think if a guy can still be respectful and talk shit and talk whatever.
That's a great point.
He's not emotional
still
about
recognizing
it.
The weapons across the table.
I think he's not there yet. He might, if anything, look like it, but I don't think he's there yet. And even when that shit happened today, I mean, that shit just happens. I mean, I'm like, where the fuck were the alpha male boys that jump in on Stevens? Like, how did shit even get to the point where you got to your boy? Your boys didn't fight. Y'all didn't go after, like Dom, like, what the fuck?
I know.
Where's your boys at? Where you at, alpha male? But whatever. But no, just to go back, that I don't think he's got it to the point where Cody's emotional and he's going to do something crazy. I think he probably hates the guy because he has a little grudge. But again, it's the same thing. They could go out there and just throw hands and just knock the crap out of each other. I guarantee there could be a moment at the end that they won't hug, but there'll be respect.
Yeah.
Because I think it's still there.
At least that little eye glance, that little nod,
which to tell them we're doing that as well.
We did the nod thing here.
And that bodes well for Cody. But yeah, I mean, if I had to pick, I'm team Cody. I'm team Buckeye.
Shocker.
Cody, Buckeye love, Garbrandt.
Shocker. You know, last thing, I don't know if you watched the Embedded series or not, but man, Cody did that thing again where he puts the balloon in his nose. First of all, I should say that the place that he did it is
my boy.
It's on Warm Springs, just east of Durango, which is just down the street from Buffalo Wild Wings. I mean, literally,
but you know
like
who that is?
Away.
That's my boy.
Was that your boy that
yeah,
did
that's,
it?
Yeah, he's the same guy that did me. That's my buddy I went to high school with.
almost died
Should
there.
I get one of those balloons?
Dude, I could use one of those balloons. Yeah, you had that done.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy
by that dude.
About to fight for the championship, and he's like, that shit hurt.
It does, but it's like a quick little pressure. I forget what the procedure is. You guys could look it up, or you maybe already did, where they stick this little balloon in there.
I told my wife the first time we were together. Just a quick little pressure.
Just a quick – just the tip, babe. Just the tip of it goes in, and then they blow
it
up.
You went way too far.
As your mom's sitting right next.
I was trying to be subtle and just – just drop a little.
Just the tip went in, and then there was Eli.
Wow.
It's like extreme pressure for a quick little moment. They stick this balloon up in your nose, and it has like one of those like little squeezy things that pushes air, and it just goes. They go pump, 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 and the balloon expands, and so it goes through into the back of like your nasal cavity. So it opens up. So if you have deviated septums and all this stuff. Instead of like going to get surgery, it's a non-surgical procedure that can help clear up that sort of stuff. And literally, right immediately after it's done, you're like, I can breathe so good. It's amazing. You're supposed to do it a few times in each nostril before.
Done.
No, I just haven't got over to talking about it. We could probably go over and do shots. I'd be like, dude, break out one of the balloons, and he would do it.
What?
Which is probably not the best thing.
No, not at all.
But I would rather that as opposed to, like, getting an adjustment. Like, dude, can you work an adjustment on my arm? I know we've been doing shots of tequila. Can you like tweak my back, my spine?
I would rather
do the nose thing because I know what it does. It's just putting a balloon in your nose, which is we did worse when we were kids, you know. But
maybe we should just bring a bottle of tequila over there one day, do a couple shots and see what it's all about.
You should do it. I bet you would dig it. Oh. I bet you. You've ever had to check to see if you had like a deviated septum?
Oh, I know I do. I can't breathe through my nose.
Dude,
at all.
Like literally, it's non-surgical and it's like super quick. And the procedure, they do it in each nose. And I think he said something like it takes 2 or 3 times to make it stick or whatever. But it's like just dealing with the pressure. It's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then they like, let the air out. And you're like, oh, thank God. But then you're like, wow. And it's immediate, just like that.
Part of me thinks I should make a bet that if Cody Garbrandt wins, I should go do it. You know what I mean? And then part of me thinks that, like, nah, that's scary as hell. I shouldn't do it.
You should still do it. Yeah, but I dig it. Well, yeah, you should do it, though. But no, that's my boy I went to high school with. That's my buddy, Dr. Petrick. He's a dude, man. He's the dude. It's funny, man. Like he helps out a lot of the guys that do like the tough show. And when Brock came, he worked on Brock and with a bunch of other guys. Like he's legit, man. Las Vegas Pain Relief Center.
So he does. So he's a chiropractor, but that's just
it's not, they don't it's call not it, like active release therapy and some other little stuff.
I go to some places that have active release therapy.
Happy ending. you want more? But no, they call that procedure. But he does the act, because I said the chiropractic thing before, and he's like, no, that's not what I do. But that's what it looks like to me. But I know a lot of guys when they're sore and they have illness, he can literally find spots in your body that you're overcorrecting to all this other stuff, and find how it's affected whatever. And like, oh, even though it's your shoulder acting up, it's actually because this, and this over here and another part of your body are all whatever out of whack. And they'll do his mojo and put your leg like this and yada, 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 boom, boom, boom. And it's almost like I always picture it like, say, your chakras. Everybody get all metaphysical
and
shit.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, oh, your chakras over here. And, like, you hit a pressure point. It almost, like, to me, it feels like it combines, like, some Eastern medicines and what other stuff where they do acupuncture and all that shit. And like, oh, you hit this pressure point, and all of a sudden your nose clears out. And you're like, I'm going to grab your toe. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, my headache's gone. Like, how does that work? You know, it's the same sort of thing with this. They'll find where you have these problems in your body where it needs healing or whatever, and they'll find that because of that, this is affected and this affected, and they'll do their whammy thing. And I know I'm making it I'm totally bastardizing, like, what they do. It's really, really impressive what he does. But it's Las Vegas Pain Relief Center.
Maybe we should have you be on one time. And,
dude, he's smart as shit.
Then,
yeah, he's smart as shit. Like, well, actually, one of these days we can go to his place and you know, have some drinks or something, some cocktails or something.
I love that we could go to a doctor's office and have drinks.
Well, no, not to his office, to his house.
Oh, I thought you were like, we could just roll into the Las Vegas pain and relieve some. Be like, bro, you want to relieve some pain? Here's some tequila, my friend.
No, that's not what I'm saying. but no, we like to kick it. I'll introduce you to him. I mean, he's legit. But yeah, I'd love to have him on because he loves talking about. He's actually a really good dude. Not that I'm trying to turn the show into a
commercial for the Las Vegas Panhandle.
But like, besides that, he also has a Kismet Foundation. Keep it simple or smart and fun or whatever. He helps a lot of people that are challenged, have mental handicaps and other little things, and he gets them out and they do camping trips. And all this other stuff. The dude's like such a good human being. So I love the fact that his business side is doing well, and he's doing a lot of stuff with the fighters and stuff.
That's cool.
But I think this pain relief center is expanding. I think they're about to do some shit in China because China recognizes like what these guys are doing. That's why I think it's like part of this like Eastern medicine things that they're doing. The way that this active release therapy and this other stuff works, like they're like, dude, we get it. We've been doing this shit for years on acupuncture, blah blah blah. So I think eventually his shit's going to blow up. It's going to be huge. But that's why I think it's really cool and key to that I see all these fighters who at the top of their game, they're going to him and they're going there to get these things. So I'm like, if it works for top-level athletes and they go in there and get procedures before they go in and probably one of the toughest, most grueling physical activities, there's probably something to it.
Surely it could get us ready for a hard night of drinking.
Right? So, yeah. Sorry. So there's my plug for Dr. Patrick and the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center.
All right. We'll have to work that in. In 2017, we'll make that happen. All right. TJ Dillashaw, John Lineker, that's going to be a great fight, man. I think that's a number one contender fight. I love that fight. It's kind of a little bit of a version of Cruz and Garbrandt in a way. You know what I mean? You've got the guy that's really solid in his movement, and then John Lineker, of course, the power puncher as well. You mentioned earlier Lewis Smolka did not look particularly great when he was on the scale. But I just want to touch briefly on Johnny Hendricks versus Neil Magny. All right, here's another guy, Johnny Hendricks. Love me some Johnny Hendricks, man. You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying, John? You know what I'm saying?
Literally lives down the street from my dad. Thank you very
much. Thank you.
Literally lives down the street from my dad. Another round of Frosty
from
award-winning.
From Tammy at the wonderful Boomers.
Got to go to Boomers, man. Lives down the street from my dad, so, I mean, he's a Texas boy just like me. I know he's actually an Oklahoma boy, but he lives in Texas now. And a good dude, man. He lived in Vegas for a long time. And, man, longtime listeners of MMA Junkie Radio will know he used to come in all the time. Like, back in his WEC days, he would come in and co-host the show for 2 hours. Used to call him the Baconator, which sounds horrible now, but he has a huge penchant for fast food. He loves it. He was open. He admitted that. All those things, man.
We've taken that nickname from him.
Yes.
Actually, they call me the 20-pack McNuggets, but it's not a catchy nickname.
That's great. You're going to keep that one.
I'm totally not going to keep that.
Oh, yeah, cold coffee. That's outdated.
I actually don't even like McNuggets.
Here's 20-pack chicken McNuggets. No, but all right. So Johnny Hendricks missed weight again. I'm sure some people have seen the videos. We didn't get to talk to him at the Ultimate Media Day because as we were going through the rotation, every time we looked over there, he actually left for a while and walked away. So we didn't get to talk to him. But here's the thing. The guy missed weight again. It's a problem. And his alternative at this point is moving up to 185 pounds, where he will be grossly undersized at 185 pounds. Now, maybe it'll work out. Daniel Cormier ain't exactly a big heavyweight. You know, he's competing at light heavyweight now, but he was having some success at heavyweight, you know, picked up the Grand Prix win. So Hendricks, probably his only alternative right now is to go to 185. But I guess what bugged me today, again, and maybe this is all about perceptions, and maybe this is about unwritten rules, and maybe this is me just being an asshole wanting people to do things I want them done. But if you come in and you're overweight and there's 20 minutes left to cut and you don't take your shorts off and you have a beard that you can shave and you have hair that you can shave, I just feel like you should go through the motions and show I did everything possible.
Yeah.
I shaved my beard. I took my shorts off. I went that extra 20 minutes.
At least the shorts. At least the shorts. We saw some other guys, you know, they shed – we've seen half a pound, a pound easy. I mean, would that cover the, what was it, 2.5 pounds that he was over?
Probably not.
I mean, I don't think the beard would have done that as well.
It's a pretty strong beard.
I mean, it's a strong beard, but, you know, that's probably ounces, you know, in all actuality. But the fact that he could have tried the shorts, You never know. I mean, if he was sweating, maybe they were really heavy. Maybe we could have got – I mean, nobody's really looking at the scale. Maybe
– a strong maybe poop, could have got a strong poop.
A strong little – but he was pushing it. The fact that he wasn't far from the end of it, so I think he tried. But the fact that he didn't do his shorts was either the fact that he wasn't confident that even if he did that, it would do anything.
I don't want to – and listen, it's not like I'm sitting here with my 20-ounce glass of Pabst Blue Ribbon and my fat beer belly right here and talking. I mean, I'm not trying to question Johnny Hendricks' desire as a fighter or his motivation. I'm not trying to say any of that, but I don't know, man. I just feel like there's kind of like little unwritten rules, little things you can do to just so like, listen, man, there's a difference between really pushing till the very end and maybe giving up a little early.
Yeah.
Maybe giving up a little early.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe if we had a chance to chat with him at Media Day, we could have found where he was at and maybe he would have been honest and let us know or something. But that's some of the stuff that really UFC's been trying to crack down on that. I don't know what I'd be interested to try to figure out or find out what he came in at the beginning of fight week. I mean, how far off was he? You know, they're supposed to come in at a certain rate, you know, away from that it didn't send any flags. You know, nobody was raising any points about it for him to still be 2.5 pounds over.
You know what? I'm glad you said that because you know what? It reminds me of something.
Huh.
I found out recently that Cyborg, at her last fight,
yeah,
where everybody talked about the huge, like, 24-pound weight cut, she checked in with the staff on the ground at 156.
Really?
Yeah. It's not that far off.
Yeah.
She said it was like 24 pounds on fight week. It wasn't as much. It was 16 pounds. So I don't know. I just caught. It's funny that you said that because I heard that the other day and I was like, that's weird. That's weird. Yeah. Anyway, just throwing that out there.
But yeah, I mean, but that seems like something that I wonder if we could ever, if the UFC, because I don't think they make a point to release that stuff.
No, they don't. I wish they would.
It'll be interesting to see if we could find out somehow what it was. But, you know, he says all the right things. He does all, you know, he seems like he's trying to do it, but yeah, it's just like,
bummer.
I hate
man.
To think that he's not trying to really grind through the week, and maybe it's just a bad miscalculation, and maybe he doesn't have the right people that maybe normally being. I mean, he has. I think he's done the wrestler thing
he's
for
a
so
good
long.
Dude.
He know he can cut.
He's got that wrestling mentality.
Yeah, and that's why I'm thinking maybe he thinks he can just cut it like he used to cut it, and now his body's not cutting it like he used to, and maybe he's just going about it wrong to where. Maybe he can, but I feel like we've had this discussion over and over, and they probably had the discussion over and over. Like, hey, we know what we did wrong on this one. Let's just tweak it for the next time, and then we run into the same situation. So, but you're right. If he goes up, he's gonna be short. He's got not a big reach. He will be undersized. He's still got power. I think his power will be there. It might even be, if anything, even stronger because he's not gonna really have to cut as much.
Yeah.
He might be a strong Hendricks.
And
he's got a chin. We know he's got a chin. I don't know. Maybe it's the best thing for him, but
man,
at this point,
tight.
It seems like it needs to go
can
that way.
Can you imagine
way.
Him standing next to Chris Weidman?
True.
Oh, my God.
I mean, is that Weidman guy even good, though?
Luke Rockhold.
Is he any good?
Decent. all right, couple of quick things. Man, two notable exits from the UFC. Goldie and Joe Silva. Crazy,
yeah.
Man. This is their last event. Of course, Joe Silva going out in a little bit more glorious fashion. How can you not respect a guy that cashes in and says, man, this is all the money I need. I love this, man. Thank you for the run, but I'm out. Peace. I'm going to go chase my dreams. You know, I've enjoyed what I've done. And I tweeted earlier. There was a picture. It was funny. Sean Shelby, Joe Silva, Dana White took a picture together. Elliot was actually taking the picture. It was on stage. And I snapped one as well. And I did tweet out, like, end of an era. And it really is end of an era, man. Joe Silva,
yeah.
Dude, has been around since really all but the very beginning, man. The dude has been an integral part of the UFC's operations. And there's some people that aren't as big a fan. There's fighters and managers that will tell you they hate dealing with the little guy because he is an angry little dude that loves to get into arguments and will stand firm in what he believes. But, damn, dude, to see Joe Silva walking away is tough.
Yeah.
And Goldie as well, man. We kind of knew it was coming. We tried to confirm it.
That's been a long time coming.
It's been a long time coming. But here's the weird thing. It's just that, man, I get the criticisms. I do, man. I totally understand it. But, dude, like, it's such a change. That's the voice, bro. That's the voice that we've been hearing for, you know, 20 years almost at this point.
Yeah.
That's a huge change.
It's true. But they've done a really good job of filtering a lot of other voices. And so right now it's not like – I mean, you might run through a stretch of three or four events where you don't even hear them. You know, so
point.
I think they've done a pretty good job of sort of like easing that out, you know, a little bit. And it was partially probably those guys' own fault, you know. When they went through and they were trying to do their contract negotiations, I guarantee he was like, I just want to do this. I don't want to travel as much. I don't want to do this. And I guarantee that just opened up in a bad way.
Or it should have been like, just put me wherever, whenever,
put
however.
Put me wherever you want. Put me whatever. I want to just keep working. I enjoy what I do. But, hey, let's maybe ramp up the amount I do, whatever. You know, let's get the dollar amount, but let's just keep doing it. And I guarantee he was probably like, I don't want to travel as much. And I understand he's been doing it for a long time. But even when I was still with the UFC, there were grumblings that it was done,
right,
that it was almost over. And they patched it up, and they made it work. And I think right now it just got to the point where they're just like, enough's enough. I think they went down the line probably like, dude works however many things. You know, we can't use them for any other thing. Now, I mean, if you can get rid of, you know, fucking Iceman and all these other guys who – maybe don't mean as much in terms of like the production, the day-to-day production,
right,
whatever.
But are huge,
but
parts
are
of
huge
company.
Parts of the company and the history of whatever. If they can get rid of that, Goldie and you know, and I hear he's had it. He has his moments. I like the guy, Buckeye. But
well,
when
I
it
forgot he was a Buckeye.
Yeah.
So
when it
be
comes to,
right
but I mean, I heard the guy had his diva moments at time, and that's the kind of thing where it's one thing to be a diva and be a low-paid diva, and it's another thing to be a diva and be a high-paid diva and then have somebody else come in and say, all right, let's look down the line items of what we have and what we want to pay for. And the fact they've been building up these other talent, they have such guys that do such a great job, Brian Stan, John Anik, all these cats that are just doing such a good job.
Got a crew of people that are coming in.
You don't need a diva anymore. And it sucks. And I think
it's probably
the
natural
progression. It's the natural
progression.
That's it. People are going to be sad. People are going to be butt sore of it.
Yeah.
There's no getting around that. It's an end of an era. And the dude did a lot of great things. His voice is what I think most people recognize about it. But there's he's like me. I say a lot of stupid shit on the podcast.
He says
a lot of stupid shit. I appreciate that. He says a lot of stupid shit on the broadcast sometimes.
Right.
Where people just – he leaves people shaking their heads. Sometimes. And, you know, so I'm not surprised about it just for the fact that I heard grumblings years ago that it was going to happen.
All right, well, let me ask you this.
But about Silva, that is an end of the era. I kind of imagine the dude, I want him to, like, open up, like, a series of restaurants. Maybe, like, an Italian joint or something, like a pizza joint or, like, sandwiches, like Silva sandwiches or something. And I could just see him back there, like, just working out the best things, like where he scouted out the best meats to
put
in
Knuckles
a sandwich.
Joey Knuckles Pizza Shop.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Do it. Joe Silva, start a little sandwich shop or pizza or an Italian joint or whatever. A restaurant. That's what
I see. All right, well, let me ask you about this. I want to touch on one thing with Goldie because I hear everything you're saying. Now, the guy's been nothing but class to me. He's always treated me with respect, and I appreciate that. I do think it will be kind of an end of an era with him as well just because he's been that voice for so long. But you make a lot of great points. Here's the thing that scares me, is the two names that I keep hearing thrown about the most are Jim Rome and Mario Lopez.
Fuck
and
that.
And, dude, all I can say is, what the fuck?
I mean, I'm down for them to be involved in some aspect or whatever, but they are not Goldie. If you're talking about, like, doing a voice promo for something that might go out on the air as a promo, sure. If Mario wants to do the fucking red carpet entrance of a fighter, sure, whatever.
That's
cheesy.
That's
cheesy as fuck, but you can't replace. They don't have. It'd be like a quick hit.
Yes.
Where it's like, we all just want to take the amount of fans that they might have and hope that they immediately
draw
over.
Like, we're
going to
get
over.
A cool little headline.
We're
like,
going to get something.
Hollywood Reporter is going to write about it or whatever.
But to hear that voice, whatever, throughout the fight, when they have guys that they've already been bringing up. I mean, I appreciate that. I don't want Anik to be away from his family nonstop and work every event, or Brian Stan or whatever. But Hardy's done a good job, and I think some of these other cats can make the transition.
Gooden works
as
hard,
well.
Man. Gooden's,
you know,
a good
Gooden's a fucking great dude. Put him in there. I don't think we need to bring in some weird X factor in a role like what Goldie's doing, because you already have guys that you build up. But if they want to involve them in some sort, sure. Like, even if you want to make Mario be the backstage interviewed guy. Nobody wants to see it, but, I mean, the thing is about him, I mean, he appreciated it. I know he's into martial arts. I know he likes that sort of thing, but he just – how do you turn off – like, he's been working all these – things. I don't think it's ever stopped from Saved by the Bell. He's been
the
same character,
right?
Yeah, and just a high, super high energy, which could be great for a while, but people are going to burn out on that like super, super quick. So you have to find a way that you can use his energy, which is awesome, but in moderation. Find a best place, but you can't put that in the fight thing. You're gonna almost just take the, I don't want to say legitimacy away from it. Just because it'd be like saying, all right, yeah, we know CM Punk couldn't fight, but, well, then we're going to put him in a fight. No, that doesn't make sense. But I'm all about those guys bringing their name or whatever, but find a good thing. Don't try to force them because they run the risk of it completely backfiring and people saying, you know, you're just cheapening the sport just to get some quick clicks or whatever.
I agree. And listen, we don't have this confirmed. We haven't been able to confirm what the plans are.
We've been hearing
are,
it. We're hearing rumors. I think I heard grumbling, a little bit of a rumor, not so much. Lopez, I hear a lot more traction on that one than anything else. So,
all right.
But who knows what the – but everything we say always happens because you know Dana and those guys listen to our show.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So if I say, all right, hey, Dana – maybe just ease him into backstage interviews and red carpet arrivals.
Red carpet arrivals.
Red carpet arrivals for fight day, fight night. Like, they could actually open up the show, probably Mario standing outside of the venue, tossing back into the guys inside. I could see them open the show, Mario outside, talking to fans outside of the arena, opening up the show, then tossing it to the guys inside to do their thing.
I'm in the crowd. What did you think about Rousey's weigh-in performance?
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, in-crowd hits. I mean, that shit happens all over the place. Why not have it? But that's a good role. That role makes sense for me for a Lopez. And, I mean, because you got to think they got to create something for him. They can't put him in one of the existing ones.
Nah.
It doesn't make sense. I think people would lash out. I mean, I would certainly rather see Heidi Androl or Megan Levy backstage doing interviews than Mario Lopez. No offense, Mario.
Yeah.
Stick to what you do. I'm
sure you're a cool cat, but nah, we're good. All right, well, listen, my coughing is probably annoying the hell out of everybody, and I can see by my mom's look over here, she's itching to gamble, so we probably need to wrap things up. So
yes,
we
said we're only going to go like an hour, and it's already been like, well, just over an hour.
I was like, I've been counting the time, bro. What are you talking about? All right, well, listen, I apologize that I did get so sick and we ended up being a day later than we wanted to be, but still not late, still our normal time.
We should go through picks on just the main card. Let's do the main card picks.
Rousey.
Nunes.
Cruz.
Garbrandt.
Dillashaw.
Wow, I'm surprised on that. I think Dillashaw as well.
Yeah, I like Lineker a lot, obviously.
I love Lineker, and I think if Lineker can – if Dillashaw gets cocky and thinks he can stand right there in the middle,
yeah.
Lineker doesn't go down.
Oh, that's true.
That will be his downfall. He's got to stay moving. So if TJ keeps his head on his shoulders and doesn't get drawn into Lineker's fight, TJ all day. If he thinks he's going to stand with Lineker, he fucks up. It's Lineker's fight.
All right. You know I'm always in full support of the Dom.
You're all about Dong. I'll go Safadine on that one.
Wow, we're all over the board. And I got to go with Smolka. He'll call me out and yell at me if I don't.
Yeah, I like Smolka.
All right.
Even though Borg's he's a nice dude. But, man, it sucks he didn't make weight just because
I
think he's not there.
Makes
yeah, Smolka. I love those fucking Hawaiians.
Oh, dude, that's going to be a great – that's a good main card, man.
It is.
It sucks that we don't have Kane and Verdum on there. That would have just set it up.
Even though we didn't – it's not main card, whatever, but what do you think is going to happen with that Magny and Hendricks?
I'm taking Magny, man.
I'm taking Magny as well.
I think, man, just him not making weight again. And then not only that, just seeing them stand next to each other.
Yeah.
Holy
Magny's
Christ,
a big
Magny's
dude.
Huge.
Magny's a big boy. And it's funny, like – and if somebody actually watched our interview, which you maybe did, maybe didn't.
Probably should.
He actually talked about not taking that fight if he was overweight. And then there was all the question, like, I was even texting you, like, is he going to take the fight? Is he going to take the fight? And weren't quite sure. Sure enough, he took the fight. I mean, it's one, you want to fight. You want to get a chance to get in there and prove yourself. But it's nice getting that 20% right off the get-go.
Yes, it is.
So,
and I bet Hendricks has a pretty good contract, too. I didn't look up what he makes last time, but he's got the former champ deal.
I never even thought about that because they released that shit.
I bet 20% is a chunk of change. I didn't take the time to go look it up, but I bet that's a chunk of change.
So even if it was 50-50, say it was $50,000, that's 10 grand.
Mm-hmm. Right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
Nice.
That's good. I can see why I did it. So, all right, well, whatever. I know you're trying to wrap, but I figure we should start doing those now.
Picks?
Just start doing picks.
All right, I'm down. Since we're going to put you on the 2017 board.
Once we get on that, then I won't have to do it. But, yeah, let's do it now. So, yeah.
All right, let's go drink some frosty beverages, and provided that I don't die sometime between now and then, we'll come back and hit you with an and a half as we enjoy the holidays, wrap up the year, and then start looking to 2017. In the meantime, thanks for listening. We'll be right back.